Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is June 22nd, 2005. Today's session is entitled Justice and Jesus' Third Way, presented by Evelyn Parker and Don Richter. Disc number PAE 2005-02.
Strive to be instruments of God's mercy. So today what we're going to do is be more very much involved with our whole bodies in thinking through and talking about thinking through justice. First, we're going to be engaged by Don around the idea of Jesus' third way. And then we will be involved in what is called forum theater, where we'll actually create vignettes from our experiences as we think about strategies that we can come up with to address injustice. So, again, welcome. Don?
Okay, thanks, Evelyn. All right, we're going to do a couple little vignettes here to get across the idea of what it feels like when you're humiliated or put down, and what some of our responses might be to those kinds of situations. Now, these are little vignettes that were written for with high school context in mind. We're just going to draft. I'm just going to draft four folks here. We'll get. Let's see. I get John.
Yeah.
Get you. Keon, we'll get a couple of adults too. I don't know your name. We'll get you up here,
Mark,
and maybe we'll get you over here.
Yeah,
just for this first one. All right. So this is just a little. This is a predicament that you might face when you're in high school, and then there are three possible responses, and see if you can see the difference in what these responses are. We'll just read the predicament and then responses A, B, and C in that order.
Okay, predicament. A group of students deliberately bumps into you in the hallway, knocking your books onto the floor.
Okay.
I'll pray for you.
All right.
Just read
what's
in
that
room. It says, I pick up my books, mutter, I'll pray for you.
Okay. Well, yeah, stay up here. Okay, thank you.
Read
it loud.
I pick up my books, mutter, I'll pray for you, and leave.
Okay. Response B
is, I pick up my books, leave quietly, and sabotage their lockers later that day.
Okay. Got some enthusiasm around that. See?
Before gathering my books, I say, gosh, forgive me for bumping into you. I'm so clumsy. I'll try to be more careful next time. Would you like me to carry your books for you?
Oh.
Okay. What do you think? What's your reaction to that?
I didn't like that one at all.
Really?
Why? Really. I think he was taking responsibility for the accident when it wasn't his.
Okay.
Maybe I shouldn't have called it an accident. It was deliberate.
Oh, it was deliberate, yeah.
Yes, it was deliberate. And I didn't like his taking responsibility for being knocked down. The books on the floor.
Okay. Yeah. Did either of these others appeal to you, or do you?
Well, that one appealed to me.
We got a lot of energy around.
Going back to my high school days. Okay. But I doubt if I would have done that one.
Okay, all right.
I'm not quite sure what I would have done if it had happened to me.
Okay. How many of you, the first response, where you would just sort of pick up the books and not even engage them much and just sort of mutter, I'll pray for you under your breath and walk off? Any of you think you like that response? That seems like a good one? No? But we got energy around sabotage the lockers later, right?
That isn't good.
What readers again, John? What did you? How would you?
Well, I think there are a couple different ways to read this too.
Okay.
I could be sincere. I could just be sarcastic.
Be a little more sarcastic this time.
Okay. Before gathering my books, I say, "Gosh, forgive me for bumping into you. I'm so clumsy. I'll try to be more careful next time. Would you like me to carry your books for you?"
Mm-hmm. What's happening better this time?
Okay. Yeah. What's happening in that third response? What's he doing?
Turning your back, turning your other cheek.
How so? How's that turning out?
He's kind of rubbing it. Maybe he's kind of throwing it back at him, rubbing it in a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, what I'm wondering is how much sarcasm is that statement dripping with?
I mean, yeah.
It's certainly a better response than what I probably would have done when I was in high school, which was, hey, you want to start something? Maybe not all the time, but there were times when I would have reacted violently to that situation.
Yeah.
And I think sarcasm is a much better option than that. But there could be times when the I'll pray for you reaction is a better reaction than sarcasm that's so vicious that it ends up provoking violence.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
However, there's other times when the sarcasm could be just funny enough to get the person to laugh at themselves and realize how silly they were being.
Okay. Yeah. And maybe it certainly would make them think a little bit. It's not what they might expect. There's a group of folks doing this to have somebody offer to carry their books. Might imbalance things a little bit. Could, kind of create a little
throw them off balance.
Yeah. Throw them off balance a bit. Okay, thank you. Let's get another four folks here.
Just four volunteers.
Pick four. Just pick them, draft them. Okay. Get them up here.
Yep.
Yeah. Great. And we got one back there. Come on up.
Thank you.
Okay, it's just another predicament. And then we'll read responses A, B, and C. Okay, here's the predicament. Who's got that? Predicament.
I'm not sure.
All right, here's what happens.
A student throws a spoonful of peas at you during lunch.
Okay. The old spoonful of peas at you, okay?
You know how to do that?
Okay, what's the response A here?
Okay, response A, you want them in order?
Yeah.
Sure. I silently pick up my tray and go sit elsewhere in the cafeteria.
No.
Okay.
No. I throw a spoonful of macaroni and cheese back at that.
Yeah!
Like this one. Okay.
I walk over to the student and say, thanks for the peas. They're my favorite. Would you like to give me some of your Jell-O too?
You like that? You like that? Would you do that? Would you have done that in high school?
I
don't know. Probably not. But I can, I can see where that would fit in.
Okay. All right.
That works better for me than picking up, the book scenario.
Uh-huh. Okay. What everybody was cheering about throwing the macaroni and cheese bag. Why is that? Yeah.
Well, actually, I do both. Like.
What would you do?
C and
B.
Yeah. C and A.
B.
Whatever.
Okay. Okay. Why would you throw the throwing the spoonful back? You like that?
It is.
It's fine. Payback, yeah.
Okay. And what's usually going to happen right about the time you're throwing it?
Everybody else,
or the principal.
That's when the monitor is gonna. That's when the lunchroom monitor is gonna see you do it. They're not gonna see the peas being thrown. Yeah. They're gonna see you do it. And you're gonna get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Usually, it happens that way.
They have cameras.
What happens? What happens though if he walks over there and says, thanks for the peas and how about some Jell-O?
He's gonna get hit again.
You think so?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that.
You think they're gonna throw some more stuff at you?
Yeah. You can try to catch it with your mouth.
I don't.
I think they're gonna be so shocked they're not gonna throw anything back.
Okay.
They hadn't gotten this response before.
Yeah, you think it might be a little unexpected for them? Yeah.
Well, I think you have to disarm the other person. But it depends on how you disarm them. I mean, if it's sarcastic and it doesn't come from your gut, if you say friend when you really don't mean friend, it's going to show. And so maybe the best thing would be to just walk away if you can't disarm them with some sincere whatever it is.
Yeah, and we want to say that really in any situation when you're being in public, now we're not talking about private kind of abuse and situation. That's a whole different ballgame. That requires you know, go, when you're especially young, going to adults, getting adult help with right away with that and confronting that directly. But, you know, we're talking about sort of a public kind of situation where you're being put down and humiliated, embarrassed, and sort of how you maintain your sense of balance and dignity in those situations. So sometimes, you know, removing yourself from the situation is always an option. But then, again, you got to think what the longer range consequences.
I would go and sit elsewhere.
Yeah, and that's always a good thing to do. If somebody's sort of picking on you like that, that's always a good response. Yeah?
But if you do that, it makes you seem like a wimp.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. You know, sometimes you can do that and still feel okay about yourself, and other times you do that and you feel a little deflated when you do it. You say, I wish there was some other way I could, without having to retaliate, there was some other way I could kind of stand up for myself here. Yeah, Hans.
I'm curious what everybody thinks about, how would you react differently if the person who threw the peas at you was a good friend of yours, or if they were someone who you know, meant it in a mean way? If it was someone who's just goofing around and they're throwing peas in a friendly, hey, isn't this funny, we're friends, let's have a food fight way, I'd probably react a lot differently than if someone was throwing peas at me in a, hey, I'm dissing you kind of way.
Yeah.
You could respond to it that way regardless if they're dissing you or not. Yeah. Like, if they were trying to humiliate you, you could just kind of laugh it off and walk away.
Yeah.
That would be a way to not look like a wimp, but still
you
just
could
walk
maybe
away.
Like just pretend you're done with lunch.
Yeah, that's right. lunch is over.
I think if okay. I were friends with the person who threw the peas, I would probably, you know, I think that's when the throwing macaroni and cheese back at them sounds the most, or at least peas back at them sounds the most like an option, because you know they'll be laughing with you, if you know they'll be laughing with you. But if they're meaning it in an unfriendly way, yeah, I think the third way sounds like a good way to turn the tables you know, as much of a cliche as it is, it's really, turning what somebody did as something mean into a joke it's like social judo, you know, using their energy against them.
Okay, yeah. Also, I heard of moral jujitsu or something.
Yeah.
I've heard the turning the other cheek example as being more like social judo than a humility thing. Like not just letting somebody slap you twice, but saying, here, I'm going to show you what you just did to me. And if you want to do it again, then that's your option. But I'm going to show you, make you look at what you did.
Right. That's exactly where we're going to go right now. Thank you all very much. Thanks to all the actors who've been part of here. And why don't you come up on up here, because we're going to demonstrate that a little bit here. And you can come on up and we'll get. Can you come up too? We need to sort of show what this is going to look like. Okay, and this is what Jesus is saying.
You're not going to give us some peas now, are you?
No, no peas. This is what Jesus is teaching about. He's teaching about, you know, what's the difference in the letter of the law and the spirit of the law and Sermon on the Mount. And he gives three examples of situations where people are being put down and humiliated. And the first one is in Matthew. He says, if someone should strike you on which cheek?
The right cheek.
Okay, so you're gonna be hitting him on the right cheek, not for real, but how are you going to do it? This is his right cheek, right? And why can't you use the left hand?
You can't use the left hand.
You can't use your left hand to do things and...
It's unclean.
Right, this is your unclean hand. Who knows Latin? Dexterous, sinister.
Sinister.
This is where you get sinister, is left hand. And today it's the same thing applies. You don't use the left hand because this is the unclean hand. You don't extend your left hand out in Middle Eastern culture. So she can't use that left hand.
So
the only way to strike him on the right cheek is if someone is backhanding. Okay, so that's a little different. If someone backhands you, who gets backhanded? What kind of people get backhanded?
Children.
children,
servants.
In the days of Roman Empire, who would get backhanded?
Slaves.
In Galilee and places like that, Jewish people all the time get backhanded. It's not a, you know, he's not getting really socked. He's just getting kind of dissed, backhanded, like you don't count, right? So, you've just been slapped. Now, you turn and make him strike you on the other cheek. All right. How do you have to do it that time?
I have
time?
To use it with my...
Or your fist.
Or
no.
Fist.
And what might that be conveying? If you say, no, you know, if you're going to hit me on the other cheek. What's the intent there?
Hit me as an equal?
Yeah. That's what it would like. Yeah. Right. If you're going to strike me, I don't want you to hit me again. But if you're going to hit me, you know, you've got to hit me as an equal, not as a
superior.
Yeah. See, that's real different than just lie down and let people sort of, you know, trample on you, right? Is that what could Jesus have really meant that? Let's look at the other, thank you. Let's look at the other two examples that he says in. And you look like you'd be a good judge. Why don't you come up and we need you as the... We're just going to be the judge. Right here. And, okay, so maybe Abraham, you come on up, because I owe you some money. I'm sure I do. I owe you some money. And in the law, both in Deuteronomy and Exodus, it says, if I owe him some money, then he can take me to court. And he tells the judge the situation that I owe him money, and the judge can order him to order me to give him my outer garment. Now I'll have two garments, an outer one and an undergarment. Okay, so the judge can order me to give him this outer garment, and I don't give it to him, you know, just right on the spot and leave. I have to every day. I have to go over and give it to him in the morning. Walk over to his house, people see me, you know, walking over, and I take my garment off and give it to him, and then every evening I have to go and get it back. Why do I have to have it back? Yeah, it's cold at night, there's no central heating. So I have to have my garment so I won't freeze. So what's happening in this situation for me? What's the effect of this law?
You're acknowledging every day that he has some power over you.
Yeah, and it's just really, it's not helping him get his money back. It's just making me feel ashamed because I owe him money and I haven't been
and
able to pay back.
And others see you walking back and forth every day and know what's happening.
Yeah, I might as well wear a sign around my neck.
Right.
You know, I'm a debtor.
You have a scarlet letter, in effect.
Yeah.
Kind of idea.
Just like a big sign around my neck. So. Jesus says, if someone, you know, is going to take your outer garment, what do you do?
Give him your shirt also.
Okay, give him your, right, so there. Okay, if you order me to do this, okay, I'm going to just go ahead and give you this. There, you might as well take my shirt, and while you're at it,
oh.
Might as well just take, you know.
You can keep those.
You know, there, just take them.
Keep those.
And, oh, okay, well, what's the conference theme?
Oh yeah.
We have to work that in every lesson, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, here, take my shoes too. You know? And then imagine the rest of the way, and I just say, "Okay, I'm out of here," and I walk out. Okay. What's the effect, ma'am?
You shamed him.
And it really my nakedness would bring shame on for the whole community. People are going to say, "Why are you walking around naked?" And I say, you know. I owed him some money, he took the shirt right off my back. But can you see get the effect on that? Okay, thank you guys. Now Hans will need you here to come up with your backpack.
All right.
One more example here. Thank you.
So, Jesus. That was a way to shame the judge and the guy who he owed money.
It what it does is it exposes the shame. Instead of me just kind of carrying it around, you know, sort of with my half-clad state, what it does is it exaggerates it. it exaggerates the shame that I'm feeling, and it sort of places it before the whole community to deal with. Okay? And again, this is the law. There was the law that permitted this exactly this kind of thing. So just like the law that said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus is giving, you know, he says, but I tell you there's a different way to respond. You don't have to fight back and you don't have to run away. There's maybe a third way that you can do it to kind of deal with these humiliating situations. What's the third example he gives? He says it, remember? It has to do with the pack or bag.
Go a mile.
Soldiers.
Yeah. If someone makes you carry it for 1 mile, we always say go the extra mile. Okay? The context for that is Roman soldier could force me, a Jew, to carry his luggage, his pack for 1 mile. They had mile markers set up everywhere. But he could only do it for 1 mile, not for any more than that. Mm-hmm. Or else he would get in trouble. Mm-hmm. If he goes for it, makes me do it more than that, he could get in trouble. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sitting here minding my own business. This Roman soldier comes along.
I need to get someplace 2 miles from here.
No, you just want me to carry it 1 mile.
Oh, yeah, but I'm gonna make you carry this a mile.
Okay, all right, let's go. After you. So we go to the 1 mile marker, which is here. And?
All right. I guess that's all I can do to you. I mean, I've humiliated you as much as I can, but I'll get in trouble if we go any further, so I gotta...
Well, listen, I'm feeling really good. I've got a lot of energy. I've been holding and had good food and, you know, I can keep going. Let's go. Come on, I can do it another mile or so.
Wait.
What's happening?
What you're supposed to do? What do I do here? You're supposed to give that back to me.
Yeah, but come on, I can go. I've been taught to go to the extra mile.
Oh boy, I don't know what to do.
Okay, thank you. See, what does that do to you if you're the soldier?
Confuses the heck out of me.
Sure, it would. Confusion, because you're used to people just grumbling and moaning, and you know complaining and going the mile and giving you the pack and then just cursing your name under their breath.
Yeah.
And here, you know, I sort of do it and I want to keep going.
But what's even more interesting about that is that you have power over him for a mile. But as soon as he takes that extra step, suddenly the power structure has changed for the next mile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so then that's that powerful, that extra step, that one step is a very powerful moment.
Yeah. Just taking that extra step shifts the power dynamic, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it confuses things. It could maybe confuse the whole, you know, the whole structure after a while if everybody's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old movie that I like that sort of this scene comes to mind, Cool Hand Luke. Most of the younger ones of you may not have seen it. But there's a scene where they're you know, it's prison camp and they're out working on the road. And it's hot, and they're all just moaning about it. And Luke starts working faster, the Paul Newman character. And he gets going. He says, come on, let's get the man. And they start building the road fast. They all start working real fast. And the guards get real nervous. They get their guns out. They don't know what's going to happen. But sure enough, they get this whole road done, and there's still plenty of daylight left. And they all start laughing, all the prisoners, because they, you know, they beat the system. That's sort of, and literally, they went the extra mile, you know, finishing that road off. Mm-hmm. So it does, it confuses things.
So really, in the first three scenarios, the one that we might say, what would Jesus do, would be the one where the people, you know, the first guy said, I'll carry your books for you. And the other guy said, throw me some jello too. And
Possibly. I don't want to say it would be exactly that, because we can't give an exact prescription, but it sort of leans a little bit toward that. This third way, what you have to do is you have to say, okay, how do I claim my own dignity and agency in this situation? You know, I'm not gonna view myself the way this other person's viewing me. I'm not gonna allow myself to be viewed as subhuman. So you're claiming your own dignity and then responding in kind. And if you can do that with some playfulness and some humor, you know, maybe, that's part of it. But do Do you all recall a encounter Jesus had with someone where someone used this response against him? In a sense, where maybe Jesus put someone down.
Syrophoenician woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Think about that encounter with the Syrophoenician woman, that Jesus is gonna he ignores her, and then he says, "Well, my mission is to the children. You don't give the bread that are supposed to go to children to dogs." Kind of an insult, pretty big insult. And she kind of comes back and says, "Well, even the dogs get the crumbs, under the table." She sort of comes back at him with a third way response. And in a sense, it really takes it in, and it seems to change his own sense of his mission. He seems to have a broader sense of understanding of that he's not just sent to the children of Israel, but maybe to all people. So you can go take a look at that passage and see if you think it works that way. But the whole point is that...
What passage is that?
I gave my opinion. Yeah, it's in Mark. Is it Mark 10? I can't remember. I'll find it for you. It's in Mark. The point being right now, though, that to have these responses is something that we have to practice in community, too. And... it's not something that is always easy to do by ourselves. Just real quickly, can you think of times in the last century where people or groups of people use this way of responding? Kind of in sort of nonviolent response to situation that used this way. They didn't fight back and they didn't run away. They stood up for themselves and their dignity.
Gandhi's march to the salt march to the sea, where just waves and waves and waves of white-clad Indian people just approached the British soldiers and were shot,
right,
and killed, and they just kept marching and
kept moving and moving, yeah.
So that they could manufacture their own salt, wasn't that
right? Gandhi really was a great student of Jesus, and I think really grasped onto this message. He really took hold of it. And saw that there was power in that, and how it could destabilize and subvert an oppressive regime. In our own country?
The lunch counter incidents.
Right. Yeah. There are other people, again, other groups of people who have done this and have used this with great power and effectiveness, where they were being humiliated and people were able to stand together as a group and do it. So that's where we're going to shift. Yeah.
There's a story about Desmond Tutu.
Yes.
In South Africa, who was preaching, and the police came in and with cameras and things and guns, and they were going to record everything he said, in order to maybe throw him into prison.
Yeah.
And he got up in front of the crowd and he says to the policeman, he says, "You've lost. Why don't you join us?"
Yes.
And the crowd just got all worked up, and some of the policemen did.
He seemed to be a master at that. He was walking with a group of guys one time, a group of colleagues, and a big Afrikaner guard stood right in his path and said, "I don't make way for guerrillas." And Tutu said, "Ah, but I do." Quick thinking, and again, he was steeped in this, so it just sort of came to him. Not all of us could be so quick thinking, which is why we're going to move to this activity.
In each one of those situations, Jesus used the culture and the law to subvert it, or to, instead of to fight or to flee, but to actually respond in a way that kind of toppled or turned things upside down and caught persons off guard, and then, in a sense, brought them to a level of consciousness about the ridiculousness or of the injustice as they tried to humiliate other people. And as Don was talking about, some of these other situations in our contemporary settings happened as well, also did that subversion. But they were also practiced in community. And that's one important thing that we need to acknowledge, is that ways to address injustice, like Jesus' third way, should be practiced in communities so that there's not just one way, but we get into a habit of thinking of a subversive way, a way that is not to fight or to flee, but a way that kind of turns things upside down, but it operates within the culture and within the law. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to actually strategize for an injustice, and we're going to do it by acting out a vignette that you will select from among the group. So listen to these instructions. First, I want you to individually think about an injustice that involves money. Think to yourselves now of an injustice that involves money, where either you were the recipient of the injustice, where you observed it, or you participated in the injustice. Take about 30 seconds to think of an injustice that involves money, where you observed it, where you participated, or you were the recipient of that injustice. Okay, hopefully you have that idea in your mind, or that experience where you, that incident of injustice around money. I want to divide you into three groups. I want us to be, just find one of three groups. We have one group over here, one in the back, and then one in this area. And in those groups, I want you to share your experience within the group. And after everyone has briefly shared that experience, the group will decide on which one you will actually create a little drama around, a vignette. So divide into three groups quickly, and then begin to share within the group and decide on which one of those stories that you will make into a little drama or vignette.
You have to share your stories fast. You only have a few minutes to do that.
We need several people over here about this.
If you all up there want to, how are they going to be to us all right here?
If you want to. Okay, this is how we're going to proceed. We're going to do an adapted version of what's called forum theater. So in community, we're going to strategize for addressing an injustice that actually happened to one of us. But to begin, we'll let each group come up and actually dramatize that experience. And after each group has gone through, as a community, we'll decide which one will be our forum. In other words, which one we'll use to practice strategies in terms of addressing the injustice. Everyone understand? Mm-hmm. Which group wants to go first? Okay, the middle group.
All right. Yes.
First, I need you to tell us the situation and then act it out as quickly as possible.
The situation was that I was in Norway.
Listen up, everyone. Listen up.
I was in Norway and I was purchasing a few things for lunch, and the things I later realized how much I was charged and clearly didn't add up to what I was paying for, but I wasn't familiar with the money system and how much each thing would practically cost. So I just gave her the money and then I probably got ripped off a few dollars.
So you
want to
add to that?
So
okay, go ahead.
Purchasing lunch.
$797, please.
Okay. Money. Yeah, essentially, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Not that much. So.
Next group.
Let's go.
Quickly.
Let's go.
Situation is in my store in Leavenworth, there are two giraffes from Namibia that are about 6 feet tall. And one, my husband had marked $110, and I had marked one $105. And the two giraffes are standing side by side. And are you the shopkeeper?
Right.
Okay. You know, I really like those giraffes. I've come up a couple of times. I think my husband would like it too. It would just go perfectly in the living room. But I noticed one says 105 and one says 110.
Oh, strange. Maybe there's a mistake. Let me check.
Look here.
it should be 110.
Well, I'm not going to pay 110 for it. I'll pay 105.
No, that's fine, because we didn't bargain like that, so sure, we'd be happy to sell you for 105.
Okay.
Let me start to wrap it up for you.
Okay, boy, I sure Jewed you down, didn't I?
You know, that's a totally unacceptable thing to say in this store.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I do. That's really, especially if I'm going to temple on Saturday.
Well, that's your problem. Take your giraffe and go in.
Okay. Did everybody see what was going on? What was actually, what was the injustice?
It was a racial slur.
In relation to that, great, good. Third group.
Okay, let's move on.
Yes.
Your dad was an actor, didn't he?
Wait.
Yeah. And so, the situation.
All right, so, we're working in a concession stand where all lifeguards just got off a long shift, and some people feel like they are entitled to a free snack. Oh man, that was a long shift. It's hot.
Yeah, man, I'm kidding. I could use a cool drink. I'm gonna take a bunch of Pepsi for myself and make some popcorn and candy bars too. I mean, we work all day. We might as well eat some of this stuff.
Are you gonna put some money in the till for it?
Nah, they'll never notice. Come on, have some.
I don't know you guys.
Oh, come on, don't be such a goody two-shoes.
Do what you're gonna do.
All right, whoa.
Good. Now, our objective here is to actually select one of these vignettes and practice a strategy for addressing the injustice. So the first thing we need to do, which one of the three do we want to work on in forum? We want to work on this group's, the situation where there was overcharging. Do we want to work on this group? Where the Jewish, the slur. You like this one? Or do we want to work on this? I need to hear from you quickly.
I can think of a solution for this one. I can't think of any solutions.
Okay, well let me, as a forum director, let's use the one with the racial slur that has a lot of implications around money as well. So this is what we're going to do. You are spec actors. What we're going to ask are the people who are involved in this vignette to come back up and to begin to go through it. Think of a strategy that you might employ or you might want to apply to that to address the situation. Given that you might be present, you might be observing it, or however that might be your experience. But think of a way that you will enter into the action and have a possible strategy for changing, for subverting, for doing the third way of Jesus, of turning the injustice into a just act. Does everybody understand? Okay. Now, we're going to invite the actors to come up, back up. Now, the way you enter into this with a strategy, say, freeze action. And then you tell them where to rewind the scene so that you can come in and act out a possible solution. Okay? Action.
Wow, I really like those two giraffes. Where are they from?
Namibia.
Namibia, where is that?
It's in Africa and
Well, I really like them. They're nice carving. You know what I noticed? That one says 105 and the other says 110. What are they?
Let's see this. Check on that. You know, they actually should be 110. Somebody must have made a mistake.
Stop action. Okay. Where do you want to enter in?
Well, I want him to say.
No. You must enter in. Which actor do you want to become?
Oh, I have to enter in.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, the money from this shop goes to people that are...
Okay, enter in. Act out what you want.
You're the shopkeeper now.
You're the shopkeeper now.
You know... Oh, I'm the shopkeeper?
Yeah, you are.
I didn't know what you did.
That's right.
Not the detached observer.
Okay, what do you want her to go back to the beginning?
No, right where we are.
Okay.
We made a mistake on marking. You know, they really are 110. Wow. And you know, this is beautiful work. And this person that did this work needs to earn an honest day's wage. And that's what this store is all about. And it really is $110.
Well, what's a customer supposed to believe? You get one or two prices, and it's the very same thing. Tell you what, though, I'm going to take the one that's cheaper. I'm going to take the one for $105. I'm not going to pay $110 for it.
Well, I'm sorry, but the cost is $110.
Well, then you can keep
somebody your... help, please, jump in.
You can keep your giraffe.
Good.
It's. I just look for bargains all the time. I don't care what this store does or where the money goes. I think it's important that we try to get something cheap, and that's my philosophy.
Freeze action. Responses, audience. How do you think this new strategy works? Does it?
I don't think it's fair.
Say more.
If it's marked as something, I think you ought to sell for that price.
Yeah.
I think I would make I would try to go for a solution at the point of the racial slur instead of with the price.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to the slur.
We haven't gotten to the slur yet.
Okay, then why don't we proceed from this point on to the racial slur? And then you have an opportunity to enter in.
Well, you can have it. You know, we made a mistake. You can have it for $105.
Okay, thank you very much. That's really neat. I'd like you to wrap it in bubble wrap. We just have this little convertible car, and the giraffe had to stand up in the back. You know, I really Jewed you down on that, didn't I?
I'm sorry. That's a totally unacceptable comment to make in the store.
Well, that's too bad.
I'm going to stop asking that. More for a question. I'm curious to know why both of you have said an unacceptable comment to make in this store as opposed to
anywhere.
Or to me. I'm not so much criticizing that. I'm just curious to know why you phrased it like that.
It's just what I happened to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, well then, by all means,
it was
continue.
My store, and she was saying it in there.
Right. No, of course. True, and it is your store, and you were there, so they're synonymous then.
But what is the possible strategy? Are you suggesting another possible strategy?
Well, I guess I was saying that I don't know if it would make any difference, but I would say, oh gosh, that's very offensive language to me. I don't know if it would make any difference, but at least for me, it's a very clear expression of reaction. I don't know if it would placate the customer.
It's better because it makes an I statement, right?
Maybe.
I am offended.
Maybe.
I
am offended.
Said that.
It gives the reaction rather than sort of an objective, that is an unacceptable comment. It may be that as well, but my own reaction, I'm not sure if this is exactly where you're looking to take us on this, so I don't mean to.
Well, there's no one solution.
Right.
So let's try with the I language. Can we re-roll the scene and get to the point where you say,
boy, I sure jeered you down, didn't I?
I'm sorry, but that's a very unacceptable comment for you to make to me. Well, I object to that language.
Well, tough.
It's hard to say I stick to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stop action.
Okay. What do you want to interview?
In the shopkeeper's space.
Okay, switch out.
This is this might be kind of off the deep end, but it's the only thing I can think of. So to do the racial scene.
Okay. I'd like it wrapped up so I can take it in our convertible. Boy, I sure Jewed you down, didn't I?
You know, I'm Jewish and I just love it when people make remarks like that. I love it when people stereotype my ethnicity. You know, it would really make me feel great if you called me a kike, too.
Oh, shut up. Well, that's coming back.
And here, I'll give it to you for free. Here's the draft for free,
And you know, have a great day.
Oh, thank you. Responses.
That's good.
Why? I don't know, it might be kind of like, I hate to respond to one racial slur with another, but I was trying to think of some way to turn the tables. Somebody said that was good? Up there, yeah?
Yeah, I liked it. I think that it can make the person maybe stop and reflect upon what they are saying, then, you know, stop them in their tracks. I think that might be.
But it was a $110 giraffe that I was giving away.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have probably given it. I would have been sarcastic and not given it to them. But, I mean, I think the thing that stopped you in your tracks, if this was a situation, you know, his response, you know, well, call me a kite, too, you know, and see what she would have done, you know.
Kind of, she
might have stopped and not, you know, gone, oh, yeah, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was good.
Yes. I just didn't say, like, that's a really good response, but I just don't think I would ever come up with that. Like, right then, I was like, oh, crap, well, make sure that I just, you know.
I agree.
You know, and so, I mean, really good idea, but maybe Jesus thinks we're really just really intelligent or something.
Some of us are so.
And, I don't know if I'd be quite that quick. Actually, I know I wouldn't be.
Well, especially on racial slurs, all the time. And if you can learn to say, give an I message, you know, I am offended by that. I wish I would have said that instead of that's a very socially unacceptable thing to say, or politically incorrect or something. But I think we could learn to do that, surely.
Yeah.
We can
do that. And that's the whole purpose of community. Mm-hmm. Forum gives opportunity for the community to practice when they're addressing these very type of situations. Some of you, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
You probably know the stories, all of the stories, or several of the stories of the Civil Rights Movement, but one I think is very interesting is about Rosa Parks. Some people might assume that Rosa Parks made a decision on that very day in Montgomery, Alabama, to sit in the back of the bus, or sit at the front of the bus, rather, and not move. No.
Yeah.
That was a community that strategized that whole process over weeks and weeks and weeks. Every little detail of what would happen, from who would actually be the person who would sit in the bus. They chose Rosa Parks. There was nothing against her. She was highly revered in the community, well respected.
She was already a civil rights.
She was already involved in doing these types of things. And then they also strategized how she would respond, who would be there, how she would interact, the whole scenario. It was practiced over and over and over again. Also, you mentioned the sit-ins during the 60s, where college students made an intentional, concerted effort to desegregate counties in various places throughout the South. That was practiced over and over again. In the churches, in the basements of churches, they sat as other members of the community poured water and ice cream and various food items on them, and they practiced nonviolent direct action. And in a sense, this is what Forum gives us an opportunity to do as a community of Christians, to think through the injustices that are not only humiliate us, but humiliate whole communities, and practice ways that we can address them. So that when we are in these situations, we might not use the exact words, but we have a mindset that in some sense is Jesus' third way of thinking. We get into a habit of thinking in a way that addresses these problems, yes.
I was gonna add the comment that what you said made me think that liturgy at its best is a rehearsal of that sort of cosmology, that way of looking at the world as we would envision it, as we believe God would and intends for it.
Yes,
to be. So, you know, not just practicing for specific actions, so on, but even our very ritual life at its deepest and most meaningful, hopefully, does that.
That's right. That's a great example, yes. Other comments about what we've experienced, not only here in Forum, but also earlier with the idea of Jesus' third way.
I was just thinking about another response that you could say. The bubble wrap will cost you $5 and racial slurs are $10 more.
You know,
keep talking, it'll be 115.
That's good. You know, my own experience in terms of hearing pejorative statements and slurs against GBLTQ persons has been a journey. And I've been in, I remember one of my situations where I was standing in line and there was this very derogatory, ugly comment that was made about someone. They had no idea. They assumed that they were queer. And I was silent, but I was troubled that I was silent. But I had not practiced a response. So what I did was I went to the community that I knew that wanted to respond as a person who was heterosexual to those type of situations, and I practiced. Or began to practice. Now, I'm not in any place where I have all of the quick answers, but at least I've sought out communities that have a similar concern for persons like me to stand for justice for those communities that are being abused like that. And that's the least I think I can do, that I'm called to do, to act in a way so that all persons flourish, regardless of who they are. Thank you so much for participating with us today.